So this is the Swag Podcast. We're back again with another episode. I got El Tigre de Dorchester. you might find my man's hitting the hookies.
Yikes.
Different flavors every night. You never know. He might have a Corona or Presidente in the hand. You never know. It's my boy Manolo. How you doing?
What's going on, Brody?
I'm good. So for those who don't know you, where are you from?
So I guess I live in Dorchester now. Back then, when I was way younger, it always was between South Boston, Dorchester. I lived in Rosendale for a few years, and it kind of just migrated always back to Dorchester. My mom came from Charlestown. When she had me, that was my first neighborhood. We always hopped around places, but I just reside in Dorchester right now at the moment.
So for those who don't know Manolo, or maybe don't know me that well, we met in high school again, Boston Line Academy.
I don't remember exactly how we met. I think it was either same friend basis.
I think it was through Josh and Amir.
Shout out to them, by the way. I haven't talked to them in a while, but shout out to those two.
Yeah, high school is jokes though.
Yeah, for sure.
But where do you go now?
You mean in terms of school?
Yeah.
I go to UMass Boston currently. So that whole school situation I'm in now, went to UMass Boston when I graduated BLA in 2015, spent 2 years there and tried to transfer to UMass Lowell. I stayed there for about a week because I didn't find out my financial aid package till last minute. So it was just a difficult situation at that moment. The finances were way, way too high. So I kind of just decided to take a semester off, make some money, and go back to UMass Boston for this fall. UMass Boston's definitely going to be where I graduate, though. I'm not switching again.
So why in the first place did you decide to transfer?
I was kind of thinking about the college experience in terms of that, and also I was an engineering major at the time, so their engineering major is for sure top in one of the UMasses. Don't quote me on that though. I don't want nobody coming at me for that or whatever, but I just hear it's really good. So I decided to transfer there, one, because I kind of wanted a better culture. At the time, UMass Boston, they had no dorms. Now they actually do, but it's for, I think, incoming freshmen and international students, maybe. But definitely the dorm situation, kind of a different culture, a change of things. So I stayed there for a week. The place was real dope, everything. It was all a good vibe until I saw that bill. And they hit me with a few thousand, excuse me. And I drove my car right back to Boston. Luckily, I have my car on campus. I brought it. It's crazy. That price is $400 just to bring a car on campus. But I brought it. So I just called my fam back home. I just had a long conversation with them. I'm coming home for the semester. I'm a week in. So we just had to kind of play our moves with that. But it was a difficult situation.
So you were only at Lowell for a week and then you just left.
Basically, yes, no, it's, I laugh about it now, I literally look back at that situation, damn, that's such a huge L, but I know it's true, I literally laugh at that, but I was there for literally a week, I want to say a week and some change, but, my fault, I'm losing track, I want to say a week and some change, but the thing is, I didn't even stay for half those weekends. I had I think a doctor's appointment and a family situation the first weekend. So I went back to Boston and then I came back. So I didn't even spend a full week and a half there. Long story short, I sent them a letter talking about, because they still tried to charge me for the amount of time that I was there, but they tried to charge me $2,000-$3,000 for a week, bro. So I'm just sitting there no way. I just write them a big letter, they drop it. They dropped the price all the way, so I'm not paying anything. But that was just a huge process getting that done.
Damn, that's crazy.
It is.
That's a thing that's an increasing theme with college, is just that prices keep increasing in colleges, but I feel the quality isn't increasing. So colleges just keep raising the price. I go to UMass Amherst, and I think my freshman year, like, sticker price was, like, $26,000, $27,000. Mm-hmm. And I just checked this year, sticker price is, like, $31,000 for in-state.
That's crazy.
That's for in-state, so out-of-state's even more
expensive. Out-of-state's definitely more expensive, I assume.
So I think it's crazy because, like, a lot of people, like, struggle go to college sometimes just because of the price. Not even, like, the education or, like, the classes. It's just, like, they can't afford to go. So, like, some people, like you, for example, like, I know a few people that kind of had to take a semester off just cause so they can get their finances right so they can get back into school.
Do you think you, let me just ask you, since you go to, I don't know too much about UMass Amherst. I think I've passed by that school briefly. I've never been. But, like, do you think you get... Like, do you think you get the experience and, like, I guess, what's that phrase? Like the pennies you put into it, like, do you get that, like, experience back? Or, like, do you think they could offer way more?
I think, well, this is my personal experience because I don't want to talk
about the future. No, for sure. Of course.
So, for me, like, everyone thinks, like, the big college experience, I guess, like, what you see on TV, like, Greek life, you go to parties every day, you just get drunk, you bullshit classes, blah, blah, blah. So me personally, I think education-wise, I've had some of my classes, for my major, I think I've had good classes. Other classes that I've taken were kind of bullshit. I just think that, like, the school raises the prices, well, specifically UMass Amherst raises the prices. It's building all these new buildings, but it's not necessarily giving back to the students. So it's increasing the prices, taking more money from the students so that they can do other things. When I think that there's a lot of groups on campus, on my campus at least, that should be able to do more funding. They should be able to, like, do bigger things because UMass is very particular in how they give people money.
Yes, they are. That's such a true statement. They are.
So they don't want to give everybody money, even though certain groups need more money. And then there's, like, also, like, a lot of political, like, politics that go behind a lot of this shit that, like, prevents people from moving forward and, like, progressing their groups or whatever they want to do. So me personally, as a student, I don't think I've reaped the benefits of everything that I've paid for. I think that I've put in more than what I've gotten back, and I think that had I gone to a different school, I would have paid less and got probably, like, the same education. Because nowadays you can really find everything online. It's because, like, I find textbooks online. You can find, like, oof, Quizlets online.
The finesse is crazy online with the amount of stuff you can find.
Yo, people are really paying, like, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to just find a Quizlet online, and you can teach yourself the entire course.
Get out of here with that. I feel you.
So I'm just like, I don't see why the price is increasing, especially for public schools, because the public school is supposed to be for people that can't necessarily afford private schools.
Yeah.
And now public schools are moving closer and closer towards the price of private schools. So I don't see the
point. I see a lot of the same trends at my school, UMass Boston, of course. I don't know if they just finished or they probably just finished the ones for freshmen and international students, but their dorms are pretty much done. And they've added a lot of things like a lot of like new halls for people and just, I guess, things to kind of bring the campus feel to the UMass specifically. Yeah. The ones that like Dartmouth, Lowell, and Amherst have. But that's the thing, like, you do those type of things, like, increase obviously the like they increase the prices, and I'm not really sure how that would affect the commuting student. Not to say like, oh, like I shouldn't be like charged more, which I definitely don't think I should, but I just think like there's a lot of things that go into that whole college experience. There's like different types of students, different situations, so I feel like it's definitely a hard topic. Like, I'm not even that well informed about how like private versus public school or anything like that, but I definitely feel like there should be a much more fair system when it comes to like the student going to school and kind of just the whole school situation.
I also think, well, this is an unpopular opinion about UMass, and I don't give a shit what anybody says to me. UMass's food is fucking ass. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
How you surviving out there?
You know, UMass Amherst food has been voted, like, number one in the country, like, 3 times in a row.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You're talking, like...
Amherst?
Like public school.
Yeah,
like,
public. I think public, or I don't know if it's just public or both public and private, but it's been, like...
That's a weird stat.
I think it's, like, Princeton. I think Princeton University does the survey every year, whatever that shit's called, and they do that, and UMass has been number one in the country for the past, like, 2-3 years, but I'm not, like, I shit you not, yo, they don't know how to season food at that school.
That's crazy.
Bro, there's no, bro, that campus is unseasoned.
So you just eating, like, chicken breast that's not even, like, no adobo, no seasoning, no nothing, like.
Bro, they be serving you, like, jerk like, chicken and just throwing mad black pepper on that shit.
No.
Trying to finesse you, bro, like.
God bless you, man.
But then you be meeting those kids that are from, like, Woodneck, Massachusetts. They'd be like, yo, this is fire.
No way.
Yo, the food's kind of trash.
I've had...
I don't care what anybody tell me.
Yo, man. I've had food from, obviously, UMass Lowell. And I've been to UMass Dartmouth a few times.
Yo, UMass Dartmouth, garbage.
Yeah, man. I don't even... Shout out to everybody who goes to UMass Dartmouth, because that's a struggle for all y'all. But that's a totally different story for another time. I've had UMass Lowell food, and the most I had there, like, I was, like, dieting at the time, so the most I had there was, like, salad with mad chicken on it, but that chicken was disgusting, bro. Like, when I mean nasty, I mean, it's probably, like, the way you described UMA food, like, just a billion times worse. I hated it.
So, the thing, all right, So, this is the thing, like, UMass Amherst food is good in comparison to other college food, but by itself, it's still fucking trash. Like, I don't care what anybody tells me. I really don't care what anybody tells me. The food's not good. If you think I'm wrong, it's because you don't eat seasoned food.
You're about to get, like, 40 people hitting you up after this one. Like, bro, stop bugging. Like,
nah, that shit trash.
Go to that food court.
Nah, the real ones, no.
So how do you, like, not cope with that? But, like, well, how do you... I don't know what the word is I'm trying to look for, but, like, how do you kind of, like, go through that then? Like, what do you eat? Like, what do you even choose to, like...
So the thing, UMass Amherst has a lot of variety because their dining halls are basically like buffet style, and they have like a bunch of different shit served.
For sure.
So like, I don't know, I eat something and then like I just switch it up. I just kind of see what's like, I don't know, like I just pick something. Like, it's not horrible food. Like, it's not horrible, but I'm so used to like eating food here in the city and like shit be seasoned and shit like that. So when I go out there, like, nothing seasoned, I'm just like, yo, this shit's mad dry. This shit's mad bland. Like, this shit's not good. And I just see people, like, eating up, like, yo, some people be dying to, like, go back to campus to eat food because they don't like the food at home. I'm just like, bro, you cooked.
They going crazy.
That shit's not that good, bro.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, basically, like, yeah, back to the topic. Basically, I think the price of school today is just ridiculous because people in the U.S., because other countries know how to do it better. So college students in the U.S. go into school to get a piece of paper to be in debt, like, 20-plus K, 30-plus K, 40-plus K, and then you have to get a job to pay off your debt.
It's wild. Like, I know, like, I don't know specifically other schools, like, besides the UMass systems, but I know, like, out of state, like, my cousins have gone to schools in New York, and I just hear that debt is just insane. Like, they'd get regular financial aid that maybe a UMass kid gets, and it doesn't even suffice. Like, I know kids who are like 80K in debt, like, off of 2 years. Like, that shit is fucking wild to me. There's no way, like, I would be able to hear that I'm like 80K in debt and still go to school. There's absolutely no way. I definitely have to find another option, another school, start a fucking business. Like, I don't know if you feel comfortable going 80K in debt, bro, but that sounds wild.
Hell no, I'm not even comfortable with the debt I got right now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just like a quarter.
That's what I'm saying.
Just like, nah, I don't even feel comfortable like that. People always asking me, like, yo, you think about grad school? Like, nah, I gotta pay off my fucking debt before I go into more debt.
I'm scared to even, like, think about the grad school experience. Like, I'm going for a criminal justice degree, but, like, there's... Like, just hearing, like, the stuff grad school students go through. My sister's currently in grad school. Like, I mean, she's doing very well for herself, but, man, I could not imagine just kind of that whole situation with finances and just the whole experience. That's a tough one.
So, you mentioned earlier that you were doing some type of engineering, and now you're doing criminal justice. Can you talk about, like, why you switched?
So, when I was applying for schools... in high school, went to Boston Latin Academy. That was definitely my second choice. That was my third choice. It was two types of engineering: electrical, chemical, and then right under that was criminal justice. So I got... I'm getting off track, but... Right, the third one was criminal justice. So, wow. You gonna make mean edits to this shit.
Yeah, my bad. I got my dog Enzo walking around. If you heard some chewing, that was him.
If you heard some dude for trying to find his fanny pack, that's Enzo. He's stylish out here.
Yeah.
But my third choice was always criminal justice. I was very interested in law, like. I mean, it always sounds cliche to say, but, like, all those TV shows get me hooked, and, you know, you start researching, like, the reality of things, and just criminal justice always interested me. But I have a few people I know who have engineering backgrounds, so I would always talk to them about the possibility back in high school, and I kind of got hooked on that. But engineering didn't really work out. It was very difficult for me at the time. I was managing a full-time, not really the best state at home, so... I just kind of made the decision to go, like, the route I originally chose back in high school. I was like, maybe criminal justice will work out. Maybe I'll have a more flexible experience. But, you know, it's not like, I don't want to say it's a downgrade because it's definitely not. Like, I actually love the topics I hear. You know, I just kind of chose to go a different alternative. And so far, so good.
Yeah, to each his own, because I know a bunch of people that chase degrees that they know they get a job. And I know other people that chase degrees because they actually like what they do. So shout out to you, whatever you do.
No, for sure. Because, I mean, there was also, I mean, of course, like, you hear engineering. You hear them, people make guap. Like, you hear them, they make money. And, I mean, by all means, they do. So, to me, for sure, like, I'm not even afraid to say it. Like, it was also a money aspect. Like, you know, you get hungry sometimes. You see, like, other people. You see other people and you start to think, man, I'm just trying to chase that paper. But
I mean, yeah, I did the same shit with my major. I chose my major just to, like, because I knew it was, like, yeah, I'm not even going to lie to you. I looked in high school, I looked up college degrees with the greatest ROI, return on investment, basically trying to see how much money I'd make after based on the degree. I just got lucky that I ended up actually really liking, like, the major that I chose. So that's good. But, like, that was just my experience. I went into college, like, yo, I'm not about to go into debt to, like, get a shit job. To get, not a shit job, really get a job that's not going to pay me well.
I understand why you said that, though. Like, of course, that's kind of the mentality that I went in before. So that engineering pathway just, like, goes, like, 100% into it, I feel like. But, yeah, I'm happy with criminal justice now. Like, I'm definitely finishing with that. I'm in the process of trying to get two minors, two Spanish and international relations. So I'm trying to finesse that as well as I can.
Damn. So me and you have had, like, prior conversations to this a lot about books and, like, mentality and, like, shit like that. So can you kind of talk about, like, some of the books that you've read that kind of made an impact on you and your mentality?
I finished Crushing It by Gary Vee.
Yo, shout out Gary Vee.
Yeah, for sure. That's the dude right now. He's booming. He's nice. Like, he's everywhere right now. There's a lot of people I follow on Instagram too who screenshot his stuff, trying to add him, and he replies back to his followers, which is a crazy thing. But about the book, Crushing It is definitely, like, a mentality where people find different alternatives, or kind of, let me not say different alternatives, but there's a lot of people trying to find their pathway in life, or maybe once school is not for them, or the side business isn't for them. Gary Vee kind of explains, like, why are you thinking about so much stuff and not kind of doing what you already know about? Like, if somebody has a background in something specific, why don't you chase that already? Like, stop wasting time. People who say, oh, like, I'm running out of time, I'm getting too old, like, that's not an excuse for Gary Vee. You gotta kind of have to chase things. He's like, I don't know how old is he. He's maybe, like, in his 40s.
I think he's late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, something like that. But he didn't get creased. I think he started off the YouTube game in that book he mentions.
Yeah, and so I read the same book he's talking about, Crush It, his first one. Well, not his first book, but, like, the first book to that series. He said he was early on to, like, YouTube. He started YouTube videos in, like, 2006 when there wasn't that many people on there, and he's making, like, wine videos, like, reviewing wines and shit like that, because he used to work in, like, a liquor store. So he used to just do wine videos, and, like, people just fucked with him, especially on YouTube, because he was so early on it. So, like, he was, like, one of the big things that kind of blew off of it.
He has different sections in that book where he talks about, one, all the different types of social media and how that can push kind of, like, your purpose for doing something, whether it's a business or whether it's an image or kind of how you want to portray yourself as a person. He has podcasts, for one, and that was actually a very interesting section. I watch a few podcasts now because of that book. Like, I would search up different ones. That definitely gave me a different view on how social media can be used. Because my initial, like, when I first joined social media, my first thoughts is, like, back when I joined Twitter, like, it was literally everybody from high school just either coming at each other, posting something funny, or trying to find something to do.
Shout out 2013 Twitter. That shit was reckless.
My goodness. Man, I got so many people who can attest to that one. Oh, man.
Yo, let's make it awkward.
That hashtag be bugging. Yo. That hashtag is crazy.
I'd be sitting there like, damn, I hope I don't get exposed.
Man, I think everybody's been through that. I'm just remembering that time. It was such a good time, though, I will say. Just watching it all unfold is crazy. Let me not get too sidetracked on that, though.
But kind of something that you said that you liked about Gary Vee is talking about how, like it's never too late. Like, you're not too old to do something, because, like, he emphasizes a lot with older people, especially, like, saying, you're, like, even if you're, like, 30 right now or 40, you still have another 30, 40, 50 years to build something. You can, like, you can be successful. Like, your life is long enough now that you can do these things. And, like, he doesn't want people to just stay complacent. He doesn't want to be like, oh, I'm 30. Let me just give up and stick to this job that I hate. Which I really like, because, like, it's true. I think a lot of people are like that. I probably would have thought like that. No bullshit. Because I never thought about it like that.
No, for sure. He pushes for that a lot, actually. I have him on Instagram, too. I had him on Instagram before I even got the book, and then I saw a few people posting that same book when it dropped, and I'm like, oh, it's from Gary Vee, like, let me check it out, like, let me read a description. Like, I went on Amazon, read it, and I just, like, bought it right there. I was like, you know what, let me take a chance. It might be something I could learn from, or just kind of get a different perspective on things. I think he has a lot of good things to tell, especially with the fact that he tries to express it's never too late to do something. I think it's always good to get a different perspective on the fact that like, you're whatever you're working on, you should kind of just stick to it no matter how long it takes, because you can always find success in things, I feel like, if you just stick to that craft. Things just take a while. Nothing comes easy, nothing comes in a day. That's the image a lot of people think, like, you can just work on something once and it'll just pop off. It'll just find traction like that. I don't think things work that way. You kind of just, it's almost like a sport, almost. You got to keep practicing, you'll get better. Gary Vee uses, like, every social media platform to get better. So it took him a while. And it's, I mean, he kind of proved it with everything he does.
Yeah, he talks a lot about, like, how he made a lot of mistakes when he was, like, investing early on. He talks about shit. He talks about, like, how he ate. He basically, like, ate shit for years. Like, he just worked his ass off while everybody else was just kind of doing their own thing and, like, clowning him.
He rashes on himself a lot.
Yeah, the thing I liked, though, is that he would be, like, people used to clown on me back in the day when I was working hard and people didn't see what I was seeing. But then, like, now I'm here and, like, no one wants to clown me anymore because it's not cool.
Right.
We had this conversation the other day, too.
Of course, we generalize that conversation pretty well, I think. I don't know, I feel like when someone starts something new that people aren't used to, they'll definitely get into that like mood where it's like, oh, like that doesn't even look normal. Like, why are you doing this? Like, that's not gonna pop off, like, I'm not gonna support it. Or it'll be that type of vibe where it's somebody like, oh, like, it looks, whatever you're doing, oh, that's cool, like, keep it up. But then in the back, they're just, you know, talking their shit or whatever. So there's always those different types of people when it comes to things like that. But I don't really, like, care for that, I guess you could say. Like, personally, like, people are going to talk regardless. Like, facts. People always talk regardless. You're not stopping that. You're not, that's not a thing that changes at all.
Facts. I feel like if you know what you're doing and you're passionate about what you're doing, just like, take out what everybody else is saying about it and just, like, keep your eyes on the prize. Like, look forward. What's the next step you could take? Just because, like, if you listen to everyone that just hates on you and you just listen to all the hate and negativity, like, that's just going to drag you down. That's my opinion, though.
No, for sure. It's that. I feel like with social media also, like, Gary Vee talks a lot about social media. And I kind of try, like, what I kind of take off that book, I kind of try and relate it to, like, I guess things I'm doing now. Like, I'm starting to get way more active on Twitter like I was back then. Like, I tweet stuff, I retweet stuff now way more. There was a time where I, like, didn't even use it. Like, I just kind of deaded it. But now I'm, you know, like, tweeting a little bit more, like, whether it's about music or whether it's about something going on. And I don't know, I feel like people sometimes would get mad if, like, nothing gets noticed or, like, something doesn't get noticed. Like, I, like, literally could care less about that. Like, I just put something out, and to be honest, it's whatever. Like, I don't really pay attention to that too much. Scrolling on Instagram, being on Snapchat, it's kind of the same vibe, I guess. I do the same things for the most part every day. Like, school, work, hang out with the family, just stuff like that. You don't really pay attention to those type of things, I guess. At least I don't.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are kind of smart in, like, how they use the social media. And maybe they don't notice how they're using it, but it's pretty smart. Because, like, after reading, like, some books, I've noticed, I go back to social media and then I look at the things that some people are doing and, like, how exposed they are and, like, the like, people that follow them and, like, everything that they do. And I'm just like, damn, like, some people really release, like, one piece of content and, like, yo, everybody fucks with it. Like, everybody fucks with it heavy. I'm just like, damn, they must be doing something right. We had this conversation, the other night, like I was saying, too, like, I'd be talking about other people sometimes, and I'll just be like, damn, look what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're mad big. Like, some people think I'm, like, hating on them. But, like, I don't think, I'm not hating on them. I just see that shit as motivation. Like, I see, like, damn, they did that. Like, why, like, I can do that. Like, I need, what did they do that worked for them? Like, damn, that shit popped off. All right, let me look at this. What can I do? What's the next step? Let me stop being complacent. Let me, like, do X, Y, and Z. And, like, that's what I try to explain to some people, but some people would just be thinking I'm hating for some reason, but I'm not. I'm just, like, I think it's inspirational sometimes looking at the people and seeing what they're doing.
I think everybody has a different mentality when it comes to, like, how they approach looking at something. And, like, I mean, I guess how they approach, like, the people, like, you're talking to personally. Like, if I didn't know you and you would tell me something like that, like, you might think I was like, oh, like, what the hell is this dude saying? Like, what's he trying to chase right now? Like, no, that sounds whack. Or I could possibly have, oh, like, let's go, let's do it. Like, I'll repost something on my IG for you. Like, I'll do this. Like, just out of love. Like, you just show love or whatever. But I don't know. People don't really get, I don't want to say people, because it's literally not everybody. Obviously, it's a handful sometimes where you kind of have, when you're trying to explain something to somebody, maybe something you're trying to start, or something you're trying to start promoting, and you don't really get the sense of, like, support you would think. Like, if I think something's a good idea, by all means, I'm going to share it to my closest people, and I'm going to be like, literally, tell me what you think. If I don't get a good opinion from them, to be honest, unless I feel like that opinion helps me in any way, I'm probably not going to take it at all. I'm going to keep going with it. That definitely has to do with just that whole thing you were saying about, like, people not seeing your eye and just the way people react to certain things.
Yeah, I love when people put me onto new shit, like, whether it's music, like, books, like, some business shit, like, random shit. I don't even care what it is. I love when people put me onto new shit. Even if I don't fuck with it, like, I still like just being exposed to different things, like, being all, like, all these different things.
I ask my boys, my fault for cutting you off. I ask my boys all the time, like, kind of like, what are they listening to? Like, just in case, like, I haven't heard something. I literally get bored sometimes at work, and I'll just be like, hit one of my boys up and just tell them, oh, what are you listening to? Like, is there something, there's something I could get hip to? Like, something I'm not listening to, or something around those lines. I try and pick, like, different music and just kind of, like, see if I can catch a vibe off it or something. With music, I don't watch too much TV anymore. Like, I'm trying to watch, like, football way more, like, just kind of get hip to things. So one of my boys is just crazy with football. I'll just hit him with anything like that, and we kind of just go from there. I don't know. I show love when, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like, I keep saying, I don't know, like, 40 times. But in terms of, like, that whole showing love thing, like, I show love where I think, where it's needed. Like, if somebody's doing something positive, it's cool. Like, literally, I shout them out. Like, even if I just talked to you from high school or something, like, I see something positive, they're trying to promote it, like, why not? Like, I have a good history with you. Like, I ain't got nothing wrong about the person. You know, sometimes I've done that and it's gotten dubbed. I'm like, oh. I'm like, well, there goes that. Like, that's down the drain. Like, yeah, you know, like, too. I've done that too. Like, this is all with good intention. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying, maybe they have a different opinion on me. And I mean, that's cool too, but.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, it's all about like how people feel about something, I guess. You know, we might not see the same way, or their opinions change, or maybe just fuck me. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I reach out to certain people too, and like, you know, some people just dub me and shit like that. But I just take that shit on the chin, move on, like, fuck it. But it doesn't mean I'm gonna start supporting what they're doing. Like, if I think it's dope, of like course. I'm gonna keep supporting.
Yeah, like when I first found out, well, like, I remember when you were posting about this podcast, like, you said like something was up on your story, and I'm like, oh, like, it sounds like something cool is about to come out. And so I hit you, but obviously you weren't gonna say what it was and whatnot, like,
yeah.
But. And then, like, you came out with the post, like, I'm dropping a podcast, like, I heard the first episode, and then I hit you right after. I'm like, yo, this shit is dope, like, this shit's actually fire. Like, I don't hear much people I know, like, trying to drop a podcast, I guess, or trying to drop something crazy. But,
Shout out Christina for coming on the podcast for the very first episode and supporting.
For sure. That was a very good episode. Shout out to the both of y'all.
Yo, shout out.
You and Christina. Follow her fitness page. I don't know the at name.
At @CMSFit_. Yeah. But shout out to her for real, because I appreciate her for being willing to do a first episode and for her to come on and do something new that had no traction. She had nothing to look at. Like, she was just willing to do it. Like, I appreciate it. Shout out to her.
Yeah. That was definitely a good time for sure for you. I could only imagine just starting to get, like, something popped off. I don't know how long you've had that idea, like, kind of, what's the right word, kind of, like, in you for a while. Like, oh, I might want to start a podcast or whatever, but this is new to me. I don't know anybody else personally, at least, that started a podcast, or besides my boys who have a YouTube channel, but I don't really know anybody else who has some type of platform like that that they're trying to start up.
I've had this idea for, like, I want to say, like, close to a year before I actually started it, no bullshit. I told a few people about it, and they, like, the few people I told, at least they told me, they fucked with it, and they liked the idea, and I was just being really hesitant and complacent about doing it, just because, like, I don't know, I didn't really know how people were going to react to it, so I was, like, I guess I was kind of nervous to see how people would say about it, and, like, people just be like, nah, this shit's trash, this shit's whack. But, like, I'm just happy the people were, like, really receptive to what I've been doing. And and a shout out to the people that have just been, like, supporting me so far and, like, being willing to come on the episodes. So shout out to people that have been coming on to the episodes. Because, yeah, I was just hesitant to honestly just start it. That was the biggest thing for me. Like, just starting and doing the first episode, that's what I just needed to do to, like, start kicking things off.
So the feeling, like, after your first episode, like, when you dropped it, like, I mean, I just want to know personally, like, how did you, like, were there any, like, oh, I just dropped it, I'm gonna let this go, see how it goes, or were you, like, let's fucking go, or were you, like, oh, I'm nervous or something?
I was, like, nervous when I record, I was nervous prior to me releasing, like, everything, because, like I said, just because I didn't know how people were gonna react to it. Like, I was, like, in my mind, I was thinking, like, no bullshit, like, only, like, 10 people are gonna listen to it. And then I was gonna be like, damn. Well, I'm like, I was just in my head, I was like, damn, I'm gonna eat shit for a while. I mean, I'm still eating shit, but, like, I'm still starting from the bottom, like, just kind of working my way up, trying to get a building and a following. But, like, once I did that first episode, I was like, yo, I already committed to doing it. Like, I gotta keep going. And then, like, it just kept going from there. But, like, I thoroughly enjoy, like, actually doing this. So for me, it's not hard to actually do it. It was more of, like, the exposure and, like, kind of what people are gonna react to it and, like, how they were gonna react to it.
For sure. I think, like I said, I really don't hear anybody else with a podcast. Two of my boys have a YouTube channel. They have a few videos up there, and they're pretty good with that too. But, you know, obviously, like, a lot of people are doing YouTube channels. Like, that's a big thing, and I think that's a good thing too. People should get themselves out there, kind of show a side of them, or their personal side that, you know, people might want to watch. There's a lot of people out there with the same common interests. You know, it's not just, like, I feel like podcasting, like, isn't really big, like, specifically here in Boston. Besides, I mean, we have the radio, but the radio's trash. Like, I don't even turn on the radio, I feel like, when when I'm in my car or nothing. It's pure aux. Like, I listen to the Joe Budden podcast, like, on my way to work, or like, sometimes when I'm just out in my car, just to pass the time. Like, I don't even listen to the radio like that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to the radio anymore. I mean, I do sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, but...
That's cool, yeah, too.
I pushed a lot towards, like, I don't really watch TV anymore. I really push towards, like, podcasts, watching videos online, the internet, things like that. But, like, that's just me.
Shout out to the Joe Budden podcast, by the way. I feel like everybody should watch that.
Yeah, what's your boy's...
It's a dope podcast, by the way.
What's your boy's, like, YouTube video?
YouTube,
like,
channel? Shout out Jay and Savvy, by the way. They be doing their thing on that YouTube channel.
Yeah, shout out to them.
I'm in a few of those videos. We're just doing dumb shit. Their channel is called Jay and Savvy. I wish I could remember the exact link, but I'll probably post it in the comment when we post this. But their title of the channel is Jay and Savvy. It's kind of their life, how they kind of... There's a few vlogs up there about what they do. It's either, like, chilling with our friends, or they're working on their cars. They're big into, like, stancing cars. So both of them have cars they're trying to work on. That's explained in the whole first video. I'm proud of them. Not many people personally that I know as well. Like, I keep repeating it, but, like, it's really true. Like, I feel like people should do new things, like a podcast, kind of go outside their comfort zone and see where it goes. So I think that's definitely something. If they stay consistent, it could go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, damn, we've said a lot in this episode, but is there any advice that you give people that just based on your story, or just based on, like, things that you've learned or mentality or whatever?
I'm just really trying to center myself around finishing school, finding the right placement of job. That's definitely something that worries me. I'm not really sure exactly what kind of field I want to get into through criminal justice, but I'm not stressing it exactly, because I know, like, with the amount of time I spent looking at things and kind of just researching, I feel like I'll find it eventually. And for now, I just kind of really want to finish my classes. So with work, school, and kind of, you know, just everything around me, I don't know, I feel like people should take the time to kind of see what's around them, who they're around, and see if it's really benefiting them in any way. Like, everything somebody does, or everything that happens to a person, like, if it's not beneficial, I feel like they should definitely take the time and kind of look at that, and I don't want to say change it, because, I mean, I don't know, like, in terms of my life, that's the way I look at it. Everybody should really take the time and kind of assess what really matters, in a sense. That's real deep, but, like, I have those talks with myself all the time in my head, so, like, I just felt like saying that.
Nah, I appreciate it. Anything you want to plug in?
You can follow me on Instagram, Nolo_Diaz, NOLO_DIAZ. I don't really post like that, but I be scrolling. I be forgetting what my Twitter at name is, so I'm going to definitely take a few seconds to go on my Twitter app and find out what it is, because I'm on Twitter tweeting a lot. I don't even want to say a lot, but I'm on that app a good amount of time. MJ Diaz with 2 underscores. Go follow, go look, don't follow. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
I appreciate you taking the time to even, like, ask me to come on. I was like, thinking in my head, like, it'd be cool if I did an episode, but, like, I didn't think it would come into fruition like that. But when you hit me about it, I was, like, low-key excited. So I appreciate you, man.
I'm open to anybody. We can just talk, see what happens.
Everybody go support the Swag Podcast. Listen to every single episode. I think I have, like, one left to listen to. I think all the episodes are fucking dope. So take the time, listen to it, hit them up. Good feedback only. Fuck everybody else.
I appreciate you coming on, bro. This has been Swag Podcast, Manolo Diaz. You might find him in your hood smoking the hookies, different flavors every night.
The weekends, wildin'.
On the weekends, you find my mans in Loera at the tables.
Sheesh. I'm out here trying to cut down, but we plugging that. You know what I'm saying? We plugging that.
This has been the Swag Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.